Will you please join me in welcoming Pastor Curtis Taylor?
Is anybody on fire? City on fire.
There's fire in my heart, setting me ablaze.
Brighter than it burns,
brighter than it burns, purifies my praise.
Got a fervor for this house.
Hello, praise God. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Am I loud enough?
Yes.
Am I too loud?
No.
Okay. There's fire in this house. I believe you're the house of God.
Amen.
If there's not a fire in you, you got problems. And every time I see fire, you're beautiful. So there's a few pretty people in here, and there's a few that need to repent. And I want to have an altar call right now. So anyway, praise God. I want to talk today about a Torah portion called Ki Tisa, which I want to show says when you elevate. So, whoops, go back. When you elevate. So while you're standing, gotcha. I want you to elevate somebody. Turn around and lift them up. Let them know that God rules and reigns in their hearts, and lift them up, elevate them, make them feel right. And praise God. Anyway, praise God. Anybody here not elevated? Okay, praise God. You may be seated if you like. I happen to come across a passage in the book of Acts, and we see there's a book called the Acts of the Disciples. And we're sort of weird because we meet on a Saturday for one, because that's when Jesus met. And also, too, we have what we call a Torah cycle, or a Torah portion. Well, when I was ordained and pastored a regular church, when I used to be a regular, tall, handsome guy, we didn't have the Torah portion. We didn't know about it. But there's this passage in Acts 13, verse 15, that says, after the reading of the Torah and the prophets, so we have the half Torah, which is reading of the prophets, which is part of what we have here. So if you look at this passage, this Torah portion, let me see if I can find this light. Oh, never mind. Wrong way. Under Ki Tisa, it says number 21, Exodus 30, chapter 30. But then you look over and it says Ezekiel and Kings. Those are the passages for the half Torah. And that's what we see after that was read, Paul got up and talked in the synagogue. Well, I want to let you know we're going to start bringing in the half Torah on Sabbath and bring it to our attention and read part of it like we used to do years ago. I don't know if you remember when Pastor Matt used to do that. But anyway, praise God. We're going to get into that. So that's why I'm out of this portion called Ki Tisa, which I hope most of you have read. But it says, and Yahweh, the Lord, and I have the Strong's numbers there. So if you ever want to research and get really into the Word of God, you can take that number, H3068, and look at your concordance, and it'll tell you that every time you see the word Lord 7,038 times in the Old Testament, it's the word that's spelled Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, which is the name that a Jew won't speak because they want to keep it reverent. So they have substituted the word Hashem, or the name. But we're okay to use it because we want to use it in respect and reverence. So we use the name Yahweh. So Yahweh spoke, and Yahweh told Moses, when you take, and the word take is from the root word to elevate, the sum of the children of Israel. So when you take a census, the word sum is the word census. When you take a census, elevate them. When you come up to each other, you take a census by recognizing the kingdom of God is in each other. And that's part of that census. Only God takes a census of his people. And his people have something special inside them. It's called Emmanuel. And when God talked to Mother Mary, you know, the Catholic woman, and we just got back from Mexico, and that was one thing we loved to shock everybody. Mary was Jewish. Oh, no! Anyway, so we had fun, and among other things. But when God said to her, he'll be called Emmanuel, and she was like, God with us. My son is going to be called God with us. And then at the last minute, he changed his mind. And I don't know. He came to her and said, he will be called Yahweh, Yeshua. Yeshua means salvation of God, and God is with us. So I want you to know that the difference between us and most of other people is you have something special inside of you. You have God with us. Somebody say, praise God, because there is no access to God. You can be the best Jew in the world. You can be the best Bible thumper in the world. But the fact is, unless you've got the Holy Spirit walking in your spirit, in your life, unless you've got God with you, you're nada. You're nothing. And when you have God with you, you have the ability to see God come, take you to the throne. There's no other access to the throne of God. And you have that right to come to the throne of God because the Spirit of God is with you. Somebody give me an amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And so, real quickly, the word sum or census, I love this, is the word rosh. I'm down here at the bottom. And it literally means to shake. When God is going to shake. And that's something special because when God takes a census, he shakes you up. God is shaking up America right now. And if we haven't figured it out, it's God's apostles and prophets who's going to bring it to our attention. And they're going to let you know that there's danger out there. There's falsehood out there. And we need to be so on fire with God that when God shakes this earth, and he's doing it right now. Hello, Nathan. Good to see you. I haven't seen my grandson in a long time. And so when God shakes this earth, the whole earth is being shaken. The whole earth is being shaken so much that the lukewarm church won't even know it. It's those who are intense, who are walking with God, who have a fire for God, who are passionate for the kingdom of God. Not just, praise God, I'm saved, hallelujah, I can't wait to die because I'll go to heaven. Oh, by the way, I don't want to die. Everybody is looking for that big day, but nobody wants to die and be there. But some glad morning, when this life is over, I'll fly away. I don't want to fly away. I don't want my life to be over. But the fact is, we need to teach people right now, the kingdom of God is at hand. It's here. It's with us. It's among us. The kingdom of God is walking into a fellowship like this and knowing that there are people here who are alive. Because the Spirit of God is alive. Messiah, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, he is alive and on fire right now on this earth, waiting for people to come along beside him. Anybody want to be with Messiah? I get that name Matthias mixed up with, Messiah mixed up with Matthias. So, and there's such a glare, I can't see Matthias or Alan. Matthias walked in and I said, I almost have a tan like yours. So, but not quite, unless I take off my shirt. So anyway, everything that can be shaken will be shaken according to God. And so The one thing that we need to realize is what's being shaken is a relationship with each other, relationship with God. And so will you lift up your brother and sister? Amen. Somebody say amen. Okay, all the time. I want to give you an example of some of the last day concepts of relationships. Here's a man, Joseph, who was anointed by God, who was prophesied over by God in dreams, who his father knew was so special, he even made him a coat for many nations, a coat of many colors. And we need to realize that there was such an anointing on him. But here are his brothers and sisters. Would you look around and say, hi, brother, hi, sister? So realize that this is each other who love each other. This is a family who loves each other. And here's a man who God chose to elevate, Kishita. So he was elevated by God. So we're going to read Genesis 37, 19 through 26. And could I ask everybody that's paying attention to stand while we read this? I figure it's important. People in the back, if you want to stand, thank you. And you're welcome to read along with me. I'm not a very good reader, but you guys can read with me. In verse, starting in 19 through 26. And they said to each other, see, this master of dreams is coming, our brother. Now then come, let us now kill him and throw him into some pit and shall say, some wild beast has devoured him. Let us then see what comes of his dreams. But Reuben heard and rescued him from their hands and said, let us not take his life. And Reuben said to them, shed no blood. Throw him into this pit, which is the wilderness. And do not lay a hand on him in order to rescue him out of their hands and bring him back to his father. So it came to be when Joseph had come to his brothers that they stripped Joseph of his robe, the long robe that was on him. And they took him and threw him into a pit. And the pit was empty, and there was no water in it. And they sat down to eat a meal, and they lifted their eyes and looked and saw a company of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with their camels, bearing spices and balm and myrrh, going to take them down to Mithraim. So you may be seated. Praise God. Thank you for the reading of the Holy Scriptures. So I want us to see that here's a man of God who is anointed, and the brothers decided to kill him or throw him into a pit. And I love the study on wells and pits, Beor and Beer and all those with water and without water. But Joseph was a type and shadow. How many times have you seen your shadow at night? You never see a shadow when you're in darkness. Do you know you are the children of the light? And that you have a shadow because you're a type and shadow. And the shadow comes from the sun. And the sun is S-O-N and the sun's alive. And you have a shadow. You're called a type and shadow. Joseph was a shadow, a type and shadow. Because the Word of God, the Spirit of God was with him all the time. And cast a shadow, cast a light on him which cast a shadow upon anybody that walked by. And that's what you have. And the sad part about it is we as brothers and sisters, we just go to church and be good. I'm tired of people being good. I'm tired of being good. I'm tired of being tall and handsome. So I asked God to transform me, and he made me, boom, short, fat, and ugly. So I go, well, God. He goes, that's the breaks. Be careful what you pray for. And so the point I'm trying to make is if we go to church and we be good, then we're good people. And Messiah said, there is no good people. Only he is good. So who are we? We're flesh. Flesh is anti-Messiah. Flesh is against God. Flesh is not what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be so excited about being like him. The discipleship concept that somebody shared with me last week is we are discipled to be like him. But you know, each of us need to disciple each other. Each of us are a reflection, a shadow, a type and shadow. And the point of Messiah is if we're on fire for God, we're a type and shadow of the passion and the fire. And the passion that Messiah had was to see this earth on fire for God, to be excited about who you are. You know, not that you go to church and you're good. He wants you to be radical. And how many of you want to be radical? One person, two persons. And in the back row, and there's three. The point I'm trying to make is, wherever you go, you are bearing witness of God. And Messiah said, his last thing to the disciples, go and bear witness of me throughout the world. And we're on the other side of the world from where he was at, and we're bearing witness of him. That's why I like what Donna was saying, because we have not bared witness of Messiah for years. You know, occasionally there's a revival that comes around, and you might tolerate your brother if he goes to a different church. But the fact is, we're more interested in loving God with all our heart, period, and that's it. And Messiah said, no, there's no period, there's a comma, because I've got a corollary. And the corollary is so important, but yet you as humans have a natural desire to kill your brother. And here's your brother from another church. He should be a brother from a different mother with the same father, but he's a different brother with a different whoever. And we don't love people from a different church. I was in Mexico, and I was sharing with this pastor. And this pastor was so excited, because every day I'd share with them a different radical sermon. And I've got radical sermons. I'm not your average. Be good. Praise God. You're awesome. Repeat after me. God loves me. Hallelujah. By the way, write big checks and leave. Okay. I don't care if you write checks at all. I want you to be on fire for God. And I'll share with him different sermons. And so he was writing all these sermons down. And I said, well, I gave him a whole sermon about the body odor. And he loved it. He was like, oh, tell me more. And I said, well, Jesus was never transfigured. Oh, what do you mean by that? And so we went through that. He's so excited. Every day he wanted to hear more of these weird sermons. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, I'll explain them later. But anyway, so I gave him a business card, which was my first mistake. I should have had him write down my number. Now, my business card happens to say Bet Leckham. So you look at the Beetlejuice? And no, it's ancient Hebrew for Bethlehem. Oh, Bethlehem. So you're one of those people. Well, everything I said was lost because I'm now part of a Saturday call. And the fact is, we oftentimes are willing to have friends until we find out where they go to church. And I told him, I don't care where you go to church. There was this manager of this hotel that we've known for years. And he and I just talked about the Lord, about his job, about philosophy. And talking to him, you might be thinking you're talking to a Christian. But he's not. He's Catholic. But he loves God. And we talk in depth. And he told me it all boils down to love. And I said, no, love is carnal. All you need is love. And so I made fun of him. I started singing, all you need is love. Wah, 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 wah. Anyway, he liked my song, but he said, it's all about love. And I said, it's got to be love through the spirit of Messiah. If Messiah is not involved, it's carnal. If it's carnal, it's not of God. If it's of God, I love you. And I don't care which Catholic church you go to, as long as you love God. And so I was sharing that with this this pastor. And he was excited about the fact that I shared that with this Catholic man. But the fact was, I tried to let him know that that's where this the body odor came into play. Because I said, doctrine is like body odor. We just need to baptize again and wash it off. We need to be clean. Because if we love God, we truly love God so much, then everything else is going to fall into place. if I love my brother. If I don't love God truly with all my heart, I'm not going to truly love my brother. But if I love God with all my heart, I'm going to love my brother also. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying compromise. I'm saying everything else is secondary. So how many have when I stand, let me pick somebody like Pastor Mike. Tall, handsome guy, he's sort of bald, and got a nice gray beard. But when I stand next to him, how many confuse us as being twins? Thank you. Yeah, I look more like Matthias. And Alan, anyway, I mean Mark. So what I'm trying to say is we'll never look alike. You'll never be in agreement with your doctrine 100%. Not even man and wife are in agreement. My wife disagrees with everything I say. So, okay, not everything. But the fact is, we'll never agree. And so if we don't agree, it doesn't matter. We have one thing in common, don't we? What do we have in common? Shout it out. Love God. What else? Jesus, Messiah. What it was? Yeshua, praise God. What else? That's all? We have the kingdom of God in our heart. We have God's presence in our heart. We love God with all our heart. How about you? Then we're brothers and sisters. Even though you might believe differently than me, and I was trying to explain, that's just our doctrine. Our secondary belief is important to us, but it's never going to be the same as mine. But yet the kingdom of God... You heard the story. If Jesus were on earth today, he wouldn't go to your church? Well, it's because we don't agree. We don't love our brother. We might love our brother in our little Baptist community or little Messianic community, but do we love the guy in the other church? My whole desire is to see us love him if he loves God. If he loves God, he's my brother. And that's what's so sad is when we see our brother, what do we want to do to him? What do they want to do here? And let's move along. Okay. I want you to realize something. How many here are blessed and anointed? Is there anybody in here that isn't? Okay, so that's better. Now everybody has their hand down. You're blessed and anointed, right? Do you know why God blessed you and has anointed you, given you his anointing? Here it is. The anointing was not for Joseph. It was for the brothers. Joseph was anointed to protect Israel, to save all of Israel. We see later on, all of Israel was saved. And so the brothers and the father Israel, they were saved. Why? Because they had an anointing. The anointing that's on you is for your family, your kids. It's for people that come into your life. Do you realize there are people that come into your life and they walk out, they walk away blessed, and they don't even realize it? It was because of you. But your anointing is so strong that God is using it to bless others. And Joseph was blessed because he was anointed by God. But the blessing was for God's people. And look at somebody and say, you're blessed, and so bless me. So or just look at somebody and say, praise God, you're blessed. Okay. The anointing is for others. Jerry, how come I can't do one line at a time? Well, that's why. Oh, okay. Anyway, what God has blessed, the blood of the Lamb is all over. The blood of the Lamb is all over. It doesn't matter how good you are. It doesn't matter how much you study the Word, until you have the Spirit of Messiah on you, until you have salvation through the one access to God, you can storm the heavens, you can try to get to God any way you want, but until you have the access key to the kingdom that says, I've got the blood of Messiah on me, praise God, he died for my sins, the blood of the Lamb is all over me, God is with me, God is for me, God has blessed me, God has anointed me, and I'm coming to the kingdom of God, and you have the access to God himself. Let me put it this way. Another word for God himself is Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is all over you. Can you see him? Look around. Can you see Jesus Christ? Or do you just see handsome guys with their fists up? Well, I'm not talking about you, Jim. Okay. Let's see. No disease, no virus, no plague, no COVID-15 or COVID-20 can attack you. You're covered by the blood of the Lamb. Praise God. Tell somebody, tell your neighbor you're blessed. Praise God. And tell somebody there's a prophecy over your life. God has prophesied over your life. And there's a prophecy over this life. And you can't touch it. Praise God. You can't touch it.
You can't touch this. You can't touch this. You can't touch this.
You can't touch it. Yes, praise God. Hallelujah. Could you play that one more time, please? I just feel like I can't be touched. Oh, man. Praise.
You can't touch this.
Settle down on the back, you guys.
You can't touch this. You can't touch this. My.
Praise God. That was for those in the back row that are falling asleep. So, what I'm trying to say is, you can't touch it. I know there's a COVID-19 around the world, but while we were gone, just about everybody in the church had COVID-19. But what I need you to realize, with one exception, it was so mild. This church was so barely touched that Pastor Mike was describing it as, I had a sore throat for a day. You know, somebody else said I had a headache for so many hours. How come COVID-19 wasn't devastating? Because God's people are His anointed. And I want you to know the power of God is real. So praise God. Well, anyway, how many feel like your life sort of goes up and sort of comes down? It's because, please turn, help me. Oh, that's not what I wanted. There it is, slide six. Okay, slide five. Give me slide five. Do, 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 do. Okay, somebody stand up and sing. Okay. God's anointed, God's people are on a spiritual roller coaster. We have a high and low, the mountaintop and the valley. But we need to realize these are seasons, not because of sins. When God fills you up with His Spirit and protects you and builds you up, you're overcoming an obstacle. You're overcoming something. God says, add to your faith. And so you might come down. But have you ever noticed that while you're on fire, while you're going up, you're building the kingdom, people want to be with you? But when you're coming down the roller coaster, there's not a lot of friends. But that's part of the kingdom of God. And we're called to support each other. We're called to elevate. We're called to lift up each other. So lift up each other when they're going up and when they're coming down. And the one thing that we've done a real good job as, we've scattered. And the way, if you want to look that up or do a study on division, you'll see Paul has 20 pages of division. Why it's a sin, why we need to gather each other and bring each other up. And we've scattered each other because, like I was telling you about this man, he loved me, he loved my sermon titles. He was like, well, praise God, and he'd give me a hug, you know, blah, blah, blah. And he's a pastor somewhere up in Washington somewhere. I don't know because he never emailed me. So, but as soon as he found out I was a Sabbath keeper or a messianic, you know, it was division time, a separation. Until then, he loved me. He hugged me. He introduced me to his brother and his sister-in-law. And we need to realize that we can't let that bother us. We've got to continue to build the kingdom. And the kingdom of God is what God is trying to build these days. Because our nation is on the precipice of being spiritually attacked to a degree that we've never seen in our generation. And we need to be careful, because the realm of death, darkness, is all over our government right now. And just like when you brought up the black robe people, the people back in the revolution, the government of England was so oppressive that they brought it up. And the one thing that Charles Finney said that really impressed me was, if there's a problem in our government, if there's a problem in our society, it stems from the pulpit. Which what he meant was, we need to correct things. We need to challenge our people. We're not going to see problems in our life if you're dedicated and you're on fire for God. If from the pulpit I ignore everything and we just pacify each other and keep you lukewarm, then the problem is going to persist and increase. But God's people are the people that have the power. The power is in prayer. And the power of prayer is so powerful. And Paul says, the weapons we use are more powerful than all the weapons of the world. We have the power to demolish spiritual strongholds from on high. We have the authority that God has given, the power of the kingdom of God, not to Jesus, because Jesus died and he left it for you. He gave that power to the bride, to the body of Christ. That's where the bride's going to say, come. The bride's going to have the authority to say, let's gather together. Come. Come. We're going to serve God. We're going to come together in prayer. And there's nothing that can offend you, because offense is of your flesh. When somebody offends me or I offend somebody, I don't let it go. I don't allow them to walk away. I want them to know right now, what's the problem? Let's get it resolved. Why? Because I love you. I'm not going to let it go and say, oh, praise God, hallelujah. You're just a jerk and I'll have to love you. But the fact is, I'm a jerk and you have to love me. But we can work this out. And that's what's so powerful, is when people offend each other, work it out. Overcome. That's what forgiveness is all about. Forgiveness is truly from the heart. And that's what's called gathering. Because if I don't get it resolved, I'm part of the problem. And God has really chastised me over the many years I've been here about scattering. We scatter because we're messianic. We scatter because we keep the Torah. Oh, that's all done away with. We keep Sabbath. Oh, Jesus did away with that Old Testament. Well, you know, and we have the ability to debate that. And I have never seen anybody lose that debate. But the fact is, that's not our contention. We're not here to debate. We're not here to prove we're right and everybody else is wrong. We're here to serve God. And the fact that we're in the Torah is because we see the spiritual concepts that Messiah taught out of the Torah, because Messiah didn't have a New Testament. He didn't go, wait a second, ooh, back pocket, oh, here it is. 40 years from now, Paul's going to say. No, he said, Moses said, or it's been said, it's been written. He had one thing, and he stood up one day and he read the half Torah out of Isaiah. Because all he had was the Torah and the prophets. He didn't have anything else. And the Spirit of God, he taught the Torah with such spirit that nobody understood it or accepted his teaching of the literal concept of the Torah for him to teach it spiritually. And that's who you are. You are the living Word of God. You're the living Torah. And you have the Spirit of God with you to give it by spirit. Nothing comes from education except being educated. And Paul had a nice thing to say. He said, knowledge is cool, but knowledge puffeth up, out of King James. You know why I use King James? Because I was raised with King James. I'm so old, they didn't have NIV or whatever until I was about 70 or 80. Anyway, God has called you to gather. Look at somebody and say, gather. God has called you to gather. Here's a few scriptures in the last days out of Matthew 13:30. Let both grow together until the harvest. Gather the wheat into my barn. Revelation 19:17. Come and gather yourself together for the supper, praise God, of the great God. Do you know you can sup with him right now? You don't have to wait till you die. Okay, Revelation 22:17. And the Spirit and the Bride, the Spirit that's in the Bride, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And he who hears, let him say, come. He who hears, let him say, come. And he who thirsts, let him say, come. And God is raising up a people that love him so much. I don't care if you're Baptist or Pentecostal or charismatic, a tongue speaker or whatever. Oh, wrong one. So his divine appointments are about gathering. And I was talking about some of our things in Mexico. We had just from the very beginning, my wife and I honeymooned in Guadalajara some 48 years ago. And so we went to Guadalajara, back to the same old hotel, which happened to be 2 years old when we first went there. Now it's 50 years old, and it's still there. And so we met a tour guide. And this guy was raised Catholic. He didn't have any religion, but he was amazed to find out what Karen and I talked about so much about relationships. Relationships with people. They care about people. And family, and how the Spirit of God ties all that together. And we just shared from our heart. We didn't confront anybody, but we witnessed everywhere we went because we bear witness. We didn't come out and say, hey man, you're going to hell. We just lived. And what our life reflected was an opening. And we had prayed about divine appointments. And instead of having to bring it up, they would always bring it up. And we had so many divine appointments. And so we shared our relationship with God's people, the anointing, the access to God, with business people, a Messianic woman. We support several people. And we went to see this one man that we've known for years. We support him and give him, you know, money and things. And he's so poor. Was it last year or the year before? He had a birthday party for Karen, and he had a cake, and he made chili relleno dinner for us, and it was really good. We went to his little house in a little town called Mescalas, and so he was working at this one hotel and as a server, and we went to this hotel. I walked about a half mile or more to get to this hotel. And we finally got to the hotel, and then we had to walk about a half mile through the hotel to find the elevator. And we found the elevator, only went to the 8th floor, and he's up on the 9th or 10th. And so we had to walk up those stairs, and I do okay on stairs if I have a handrail, but if I don't, I'm lost, you know, and I fall backwards, and which I did a few times. So we finally got up there, and we saw him, and there was this really big tall guy next to us. He turned out to be 6'4". And he had tattoos everywhere, all over his face, except the front, and his neck and his arm. And he even showed me his armpits. He had tattoos there. And he took off his hat, and he shaved his head and has tattoos all over. And the exact opposite of who I represent. And so we talked a little bit, I'm pretty much a nice guy, but I'm offensive. But because I'm a nice guy, people think it's funny. And so I say offensive things, ha ha, and people laugh. And so I said, man, you sure are ugly. And I just met him, and he's 6'4", and he's, what are you talking about? And I said, well, look at you. Have you looked in the mirror? Yeah. And he goes, who are you? I said, I'm here for Raphael. I said, I walked about a half mile to get here. And he said, you walked a half mile to see him, you know, as retarded as I am, you know? I said, yeah, I love the guy. And he said, I've never met somebody that cared so much about somebody. They would do what you did. And I started to tear up a little bit. And he was like, why? Why are you tearing up? I said, because I love that guy. And I'm all about love. And we talked for a while, and later on I found out Karen had the audacity to say, well, what do you do for a living? And I loved his answer. He said, let me tell you a lie. You want the truth or lie? So Karen said, lie. So he said, I'm a healthcare worker, and I drive an ambulance, and I save people's lives, and whatever he said. And we found that he said, that was a lie. Because you can't handle the truth. And so we said, well, try. And so he said, I own some land in Vista, California, and I rented a backhoe, and I dug this huge hole, and I put these 10 shipping containers in these holes. And a shipping container is about 10 by 30 or so. And so he buried all these run electricity. He said, I'm one of the biggest and best marijuana growers in California. I go, oh, is that legal now? He said, no, not commercial. So you're a illegal marijuana seller. And he said, yes. So I said, are you stoned right now? And he said, I don't smoke. I said, you're strictly a businessman, and you try to sell marijuana to people that are stupid enough to smoke it. And anyway, we had a great conversation, and he finally said, what do you do? And they go, well, do you want the truth or lie? So anyway, so he was surprised to hear that my life is totally represents his anti-life. And when we talked, I said, there's what's called a divine appointment. Everything I do is for the kingdom of God, and God put you in my life. So my heart is to tell you that someday you're going to have to cry out to God, and you're probably going to be yelling at him. You're probably going to be upset with God, but you're going to call on him, and you're going to have a broken heart because God became flesh and died for you. And he said, I got a problem with God. I said, God loves you so much, he doesn't have a problem with you. And I told him, I said, what transpired is the fact that someday these words of mine are going to be in your head so clear, and you're going to call upon Matthias. You're going to call. Well, it's such a glare right there, and that you're going to call upon Jesus. I use Jesus around regular people. And but anyway, so we left, and we had, pardon me? Yeah, you don't know who you're going to bear witness to. And he was such a prominent figure that everywhere where he went, he influenced people. He was very dynamic. And yet, God told me that someday he's going to be serving God with his dynamic relationship. So, like I said, we met pastors and so many people about loving your neighbor. We have this one woman we support, and she came and gave Karen a massage and all this stuff, and I babysit her two daughters. And so we took them out to lunch, and we said, whatever you want on the menu, girls. And this one girl, this 8-year-old girl, was so excited. I don't think she's ever been to a restaurant. But anyway, she said, I could have anything. And she was looking at the pictures, and she said, I want one of these giant big hamburgers. You know, and she didn't speak English. This was all in Spanish. And so they brought the hamburger and a big thing of french fries. She ate the whole thing. The whole thing was bigger than her whole stomach. So I don't know where she put it. But anyway, we took them home, and our hearts are broken. Boosteris is a town up against the hills. And so we drove out to the end of the town, to the houses that were partially built. And we were at the end of town, and there was a hill and nothing else. And this was a concrete house, and some of the walls were up. There was no floor, no doors, no ceiling, no roof. And so we asked, what you do in the rainy season? And they go, we get wet. And it was just so sad to see this. And I'm not rich. And so we don't have enough money to help all the people that we met. But we just worked out for the kingdom, because the key to the kingdom was what we share, what we do have. And such as I have, I give unto you. So, anyway, you see up there the last thing was a seed planting. And we planted a lot of seeds. And so in Matthew 12, however, knowing what they were thinking, Yeshua said to them, every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and every city or household divided against itself will not survive. I bring that up because we're talking about the realms of death, and we're talking about the fact that it is divided. But the reality is, we have allowed division in the church. We have allowed division to keep the body of Christ fractured and splintered, without authority, without power, because there's power when we come together. There's power when we come together and pray, because the weapons we have are greater than the weapons of the world. And I'm just asking you, don't allow division in our kingdom anymore. Can I have an amen from the people that didn't say amen? Okay. If Satan drives out Satan, Matthew 12:26, he is divided against himself. So how can his kingdom be survived? One thing, when you read the history of Mein Kampf or Hitler, you'll see that he really understood divide and conquer. Divide and conquer. And now the realms of Satan are all about divide and conquer. Because if Satan can keep us lukewarm, if Satan can keep us offended and not resolve our problems, then we have allowed Satan to divide the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God right now, I'm telling you, there are things coming up in our society that the kingdom of God needs to be united. We need to be united in power, in effect. And the kingdom of God needs to be supported. And we need to come together and praise him and build up the kingdom. Because the kingdom of God is what Peter said, add to your faith every day, the faith in the kingdom. So we can't come against those that see him. How many here can see him? John 14:19, the Lord gave this to Karen, and she just got excited about it. We talked a lot about it, so I thought I'd throw it in here. In just a little while, this is right before he ascended, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, because I live. You too will live. The world cannot see him. It's not by intellect, it's not by debate, it's by my spirit, thus saith Yahweh. And we will always have differences, but we can come together with those that see him. So say this out loud. We can see him. Matthew 23:39, last slide. Oh, how would you like to stand for the last slide? Okay, shake a little bit so you can wake up. What can be shaken will be shaken. And God's going to shake the kingdom of God. Matthew 23:39. For I tell you, from now on, you will not see me again until you say. So let me tell you this. Don't mess with the seers. Those that can see God, don't mess with them. Don't criticize. We're coming to a point in these days that we may see the rise of the Antichrist, but we won't know who he is unless you're led by the Spirit. We might see the temple in Israel rebuilt. Don't curse it, even though it probably deserves your curse. But don't curse it. Be careful what you curse. Be careful what's in your life that you curse and you bless. So those that can see, say this out loud. Baruch Haba Hashem Adonai, or Baruch Haba Hashem Yahweh. What does that mean? Blessed is he or she that comes in the name of... Anybody come here in the name of somebody besides the Lord? Anybody have the Spirit of God in you, and so you're bringing the Spirit of God to work in the City Market? Everywhere you go, you bring the light of the world, because You are God's anointed. Praise God. You bring your prayer. And what I want you to realize is the world can't see. But you are the light of the world, and you can help them see by asking God who to pray for, how to pray, asking God the real commitment to the Spirit of God. You have a purpose. Your purpose is not to be good and grow old and die. Well, I went to church all my life, praise God. Didn't smoke, didn't drink, didn't chew, didn't go with girls that do, praise God. Well, the fact is God has called you to bear witness. I'm having surgery Monday. I'm going to be out for a while. And I'm also old, and I may be retiring to some degree. And I talked to Pastor Mike and said, I'd like to come back and teach the Haftorah if the church would give me 10 minutes a week, something like that. But the fact is, what I have taught you for years, I hope to see as a legacy. I hope to leave here and know that you're in charge on Thursday nights, and you have the Spirit of God to rule and reign. You're not there to teach Torah. You're there how to teach people how to walk in the Spirit of Torah. And it's the Spirit of Messiah that I shared all over Mexico. And the Spirit of Messiah is so real that Catholics and Baptists who never heard of the Spirit of Messiah were blown away. And I told them, it's the Spirit of Messiah that's going to bring us together. It's going to cause us to reflect the power of Jesus Christ, the power of love, the power of His authority. It's because we are going to work together. And don't worry about the fact that we'll never agree. You'll never be as handsome as Archie. You know. Right, Michelle? But the fact is, Archie and I can be friends. Yeah. You don't lie from the pulpit. So, but you can step away. And so, but the fact is, we're called to be His. We're called to be His passion, His fire. So look at somebody and say, you are being prepared. So, if you study my Torah studies that I email out, and if you don't get those, see Wendy. But if you study those, you'll see this a lot. Keep the faith and spread the fire. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, guys.